St. Paul writes these words, "Don't you know that all of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? You were buried by baptism into death, so that as just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, you too might walk in newness of life." I know everyone in here is probably familiar with the phrase, "soak it in." Some of you maybe used that phrase yesterday. I noticed all the water kind of running off and out and down the street, and I was just wishing some of it would penetrate the grass of my front yard, that it would soak it in. I had a moment where I thought about you, and I thought, hopefully the aquifers will soak it in, but then I went back just to my lawn. You know, soak it in, get green. We all know what it is to say the words, "soak it in." And we who live in a coastal desert climate, in an extended drought, probably say that phrase more often metaphorically than literally, correct? I mean, literally, let the water get in. Metaphorically, have something be absorbed. You know, earlier this week, I was at a meeting down on Main Street in Seal Beach, meeting someone, conversation, coffee. And when I left, I drove towards the pier. So you can picture that, driving down towards Main Street. I took a right when I got to Ocean. I took the next first right. You know, the Seal Beach City buildings are there on your left, right? And as I'm driving back towards the direction I need to go, in my rearview mirror, I see that that Catalina is as clear as a bell. That's another metaphorical turn of phrase. Clear as a bell, but we'll leave that for now. It was as clear as a bell. The ocean, however, was covered in a blanket of fog, so I could not see the sea, but I could see about three or four masts and sails of sailboats that were obviously out on the water at that point. Now, two things to think about here. First of all, that was there when I was driving that direction. But I have become so oblivious to the beautiful because I'm on the coast often enough that it didn't even capture my attention to begin with. But then once I saw it in my rearview mirror, I literally stopped in the middle of the street and just soaked in that view for a moment. I thought, how many people get to see this? Now, yeah, you get to see it all the time. You live here too. But think about that in a bigger context. How many people get to see something like that? Especially on a day in January. Man, I just soaked in that view for a moment. Allowed myself to marvel at the beauty that God was working on the water right before me. I soaked it in, and then I went on. When we use that phrase, soak it in, soak means to absorb. Sometimes we absorb mentally. Sometimes we absorb emotionally. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, which I read to you earlier, calls us to absorb spiritually. I don't know how many of you use Facebook and Twitter and Yelp often for various purposes, but one thing is true. It's pretty easy to tarnish someone's reputation through those means. And therefore, it's also pretty easy to have your reputation tarnished, whether individually or corporately, through something like Facebook or Twitter or Yelp. Maybe you've lived through that pain. All of you on occasion have lived through the pain of being called a name, right? And when you were the age of those who were up here in this corner a little bit earlier, when someone called you a name, you maybe you went home and you told mom or dad, you know, this is what they called me. It's painful to get called names. In baptism, God calls you by name. I want you to soak that in for a minute. In baptism, God calls you by name. And it's not the name of your brother or your sister. Moms and dads, how many of you have done that before? Cameron has been called Clayton. Clayton has been called Cameron. At times, all three of them get merged into one. Clayty or Campton was used by me on several occasions, right? Sorry, buddy. God calls you by name. It's not, hey, you. He knows who you are. Soak that in. Sid or Sydney, Alexander, Alexandra, God calls you by name. And you know what's even a bigger mind blower? Is while it is great to have God announce that he knows Kevin, and that is great. While it's great to know that God announces that he knows Kevin, it's better to know that he pronounces me Christian. God himself declares that I belong to his son. In the waters of baptism, he calls me by name. You're like me. You have all kinds of different identities, right? I'm husband, father, pastor, neighbor. You can start putting in the ones that belong to you. Your truest identity is that which is given you in baptism. Christian. One who belongs and follows Christ. Soak that in. When you were baptized, you became his. Some of your stuff became no longer your own. Your sin, your guilt, your trespasses, all the things that haunt you and daunt you, the Lord washed away. Just like he swept away Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea, so he swept away the stain of your sin at the font when you were baptized. That's why elsewhere, the author of our text says, baptism is a pledge of a clear conscience before God. It's because of what he's done in those waters. Sin, Satan, self, society, they all try to hold things over us, don't they? God has held all those things under the water of baptism. Drown them and wash them away. In baptism, you've been given amnesty, mercy and grace and forgiveness for all sin. Soak it in. And in baptism, you've met one who cares. Have you ever felt like no one really cares or no one really understands? You ever felt kind of alone, even in a crowd? Even at home or hanging out with your friends? Do you know what it is to be left out or ostracized? You've been excluded? Do you feel unwanted? Soak this in. In baptism, God has brought you into fellowship with himself. In baptism, God has brought you into fellowship with himself, and thus with all those others that he has pronounced to belong to him. The only one who is really someone cares about you enough to bring you into relationship with himself. That happened the day you were carried, or the day you walked yourself to the font. Through baptism, you have received intimacy with God. Soak that in. All of us at some point kind of wonder what our purpose is, right? What am I here for? All of us at some point wonder what it's all about. What should I do? What's the meaning? Occasionally, that question is pondered existentially. At other times, it's probably pondered more practically. The latter, the co-ed who is changing her major for the fourth time in two semesters. the former, the guy who's going to retire for the first time, or who's been turned down for a job the sixth or seventh time. It comes from someone who might feel unappreciated or unfulfilled, depressed or distraught. If you have ever pondered or so noodled, or if you face those questions in the future, turn back this direction to the font. Let that that existential question kind of be washed away with an empirical pronunciation. You belong to me. With you, I am well pleased. You are my beloved child. Soak it in. In baptism, God has provided you amnesty, mercy for all your sin, forgiveness and absolution. In baptism, God has provided you intimacy with himself, the triune God, and with his church. In baptism, God has provided you identity. Your truest self belongs in the title Christian. And in baptism, God gives you a daily opportunity to rise anew with him. Hear the words from St. Paul again. Don't you know that all of you were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? You were buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, you too might walk in newness of life. Luther put it this way in his small catechism. Every day we as the baptized child of God get a rise up anew, knowing that the old self has been drowned in the waters of baptism. Now, before the day is over, you're going to have to go back and drown that old person again, right? That old Adam, that old Eve knows how to swim, keeps bopping up to the surface, but you keep, through repentance, through faith, through service, allowing the Lord to remind you he has drowned that old nature, that he has built you up and raised you as a new creature. Soak that in. You know, sometimes we take great things for granted. Kind of like that view. I was driving right towards it, didn't notice it. It was right by my side, I didn't see it. And it wasn't until it was in the rearview mirror that it really grabbed me that day. For the vast majority of you here, baptism is in your rearview mirror. For Autumn, it's in the front view mirror, and it's really coming close and soon. If for you, baptism is still in the front mirror, in other words, the front window, if you have not yet been baptized, or your kids haven't, don't leave here today until you talk to me. But for most of us here, baptism's in the rearview mirror. Right now, I'm going to invite you to pull over to the side of the road. Just stop where you are. Soak it in. And not just today. It's worth each morning pulling over and soaking it in. The truth that God has given you an identity, amnesty, intimacy with himself, and an opportunity each morning to rise anew and cherish the beautiful thing he has done for you on the waters. Soak it in. Amen.